All right, so, amen. So we may have to, Sunday maybe, this is the second Wednesday night we've done this, and we thought we were only going to have to do it one Sunday, but we may have to have just sat in the balcony this coming Sunday. I'm not sure yet, because I don't know what all they'll get done, but we're going to make it happen, right? You know, I mean, hey, and don't some of you that normally sit downstairs sit so comfortable that you won't go sit in the balcony. I'll just close it up and you'll have to sit down here because I won't let the curtains up. No. You know, I want to share some keys, I think, to experiencing the best that God has for us. You know, as we look in at the history of Israel, we see some things there. And then the Apostle Paul wrote this in Romans 15:4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now that's King James, New King James, NLT says, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And these scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. As we know, Israel, you know, they were up and down, mostly depending upon their kings. They had some kings who were godly and served God and led the people that direction, and they were prosperous and everything was good. But they had some wicked kings that led them into the disobedience and falling away from what God had commanded them to do. Eventually, it led them to complete disobedience and rebellion as a nation, and they rebelled against God. And in all of that setting where they had been with God and then they weren't and then they were and then they weren't, in all of that setting, I want to read to you what God said to them in Isaiah 1:18. I'll give you a chance to turn there. My wife says I go too fast, so I'll slow down. It says here, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, I like Adam Clark's commentaries, and he says this. Here, God gives Israel a severe rebuke against the corruptions prevailing among them at that time. It's a powerful exhortation to repentance, grievous threatenings to the repentant, and gracious promises of better times when the nation shall have been reformed by the judgments of God. Now, if Israel repents, it says that they're going to eat the good of the land. But he warns them, if they do not choose to come back to them, then the enemy will devour them. Now, I want you to look specifically at verse 19. And two words in that verse are the keys to getting the blessing are not getting the blessing of God. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Here are the keys. Willing and obedient. Now, we're not just talking about having a one-time moment. We're talking about continually living in the promises of God. Now, you know, I don't know what it's like, I hadn't been there a long time, but used to, in the safety deposit box, you had to have a key, and you had to put that in, and then the bank had a key, and they put them in, and you turn both of them together, and then you could get in your safety deposit box. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Is it still that way? I don't know. I haven't been in a while. But you had to have two keys to get in. There are some doors that you have to have two keys to get in. Well, there's two keys to receiving the blessings of God, eating the good of the land. And you gotta use both of the keys. Now, I grew up with a man by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin. And if you'll read in his book about how God taught me about prosperity, he tells about how that he went out in the traveling ministry and things were not going very good. And, you know, we didn't have much and his clothes were wearing out and ours too at home. And the car was wearing out. Finally, he had to sell it for junk. And, I mean, we were living in a little three-room apartment. Now, you know, he really got concerned about this. And he started talking to the Lord about it. And he told the Lord, he said, "You says here that we'd eat the good of the land." And God told him he didn't qualify. And he said, "What do you mean I don't qualify?" The Lord said to him, "Yeah, you were obedient. But another key to that scripture is willing. You're doing it, but you're not doing it willingly." How many of you have ever done something, you did it, you obeyed, but you didn't do it willingly? Let me see your hand. I see four people's hands. I know there's more than that up there. Because I guarantee you that you've done some stuff that your parents told you to do. You were obedient, but you weren't really willing. How many of them got you there? You know, like the little boy that the teacher made go stand in the corner. He said, "I may be standing up on the outside, but I'm sitting down on the inside." He was obedient, but he wasn't in a willing mood. You see, and if you ever been around Dad, he would talk about this quite a bit. He would talk about being willing and obedient. He was talking about the fact that there, you know, a lot of people need to check up on themselves and find out why that they're not getting all the blessings. You know, sometimes we need to realize that willing is one thing. Obedience is another thing. Now, the New King James said, if you're willing and obedient. The New English Translation says, if you have the willing attitude and obey. The New International Version says, if you're willing and obedient. And the New Living Translation said, if you will only obey me and let me help you, then you will have plenty to eat. It speaks here of an attitude. An attitude is a frame of mind. You know, we've got to have a willing attitude to do what God told us. And in 2 Corinthians 9:7 in the NLT, it says, "You must each make up your own mind on how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or respond to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully." Now, God wants you to be willing to give in the offering, you know, but he wants you also to give. Now, if you're willing but not giving, God can't bless you. If you give but you're not willing, still God can't bless you. It takes both willing and giving if you want God to bless you. You see, obedience is doing something because that's what you're supposed to do. Willingness is an attitude or an action. When you're both willing and obedient, the blessings of God comes. Sometimes our unwillingness is what limits us from receiving everything that we want to receive from God. See, many reasons that Christians are not productive is that they're not willing to do what the Word tells them to do. Now, wait a minute. They may be reading the Word, but they're not willing to do what it says. In fact, Jesus stood over Jerusalem one time, and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, the one that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Here, Jesus is saying that the reason that they're in going to be in the condition that they're get themselves in is because they were one unwilling to recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah. You know, when you begin to think about it for just a moment, we do a lot of things in obedience, but we're not really willing. In the natural, I'm talking about. Anybody ever found that to be true? You know, there's a lot of things you have to do, but you're not really willing to do it. But you do it because it's necessary to do. And that's what happens with many people. They do what God says to do, but they're not doing it with a willing heart. And so, therefore, they do not receive what they should be receiving from the Word of God and the blessings. Now, when you begin to think about it for just a moment, life is actually, and when I look up, the reason I'm looking down is because when I look up those lights, I can't see nothing. They're so bright. I hope they get adjusted when they get the pews in. Now, life is a series it's a series of choices. That's what I want to say. It's a series of choices. As we go through life and as we move forward, either we choose to go with the things of God and we move forward, or we choose not to and we move backward. It's our choice. You see, our attitudes, sometimes people say, well, circumstances determine how I accept things. No, circumstances have nothing to do with it. Your choice has to do with it. Your attitude has come from choices. You can either choose to be sad or you can choose to be glad about something. When the circumstances might cause you to be sad, you can choose to be glad. Everyone has an opportunity to choose to face every day with a willing attitude. I mean, there's many of you that you go to work because you have to, but you don't really want to. You're not willing. You not really want to go there, but you do it. Attitude is willingness, and that is necessary to receive the best from God. Now, some people make the mistake of thinking, well, if I had the right circumstances, then it would be different. I have had people say to me, well, man, if I was in your position, I could have a good attitude too. Well, in your circumstances, that has nothing to do with having a good attitude. Charles Swindoll, and I don't know whether you know who he is or not, but he's a famous pastor of a church. He said, the single most significant decision I can make on a day-to-day basis is my choice of attitude. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to read that to you again. The single most significant decision I make on a day-to-day basis is my choice of attitude. Now listen to what he goes on to say. It is more important than my past, my education, my bankroll, my successes or failures, my fame or pain, what other people think of me or say about me, my circumstances or my position. Attitude is that single string that keeps me going or cripples my progress. It alone fuels my fire or assaults my hope. When my attitudes are right, there is no barrier too high, there is no valley too deep, no dream too extreme, no challenge too great for me. He is saying that has to do with attitude. So we must cultivate an attitude of being willing to do what God says to do. Now, you know, now obedience is the second key. And it makes it very clear here. This is very clear direction is given to us in Deuteronomy 28:1-2. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I commanded you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord. Now the New Living Translation says it, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commandments that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world, and you will experience all the blessings if you obey the Lord. Now, I realize you're saying, well, he was giving that to Israel. Well, that's Abraham's children, and in Galatians 3:13 says that we have become the spiritual children of Abraham, so that is for us too. These verses show that we can have the blessings, but it's not up to God whether we get them or not. It's up to us. It's up to us. You know, I think sometimes that some people have too many options, and then some people want to say, well, now this is what I think God said. Well, God said what he meant what he said, so let's just do it. You know, we have all kinds of things around us to distract us from what God really said. This person saying this, this person saying that, this famous guy saying this, this famous evangelist saying this, and it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what I say. It's what the Bible said. The Apostle Paul said, if anybody comes teaching anything contrary to what he was, the word of God that he was teaching, to count it accursed. You know, sometimes we get distracted with this or that or something else. And I'm talking about in the spiritual area. And therefore, we lose out on what we could have from God. Now, another group of people get satisfied with where they are, and they don't pursue any more of the blessings of God. You know, I've run into people like that, talked to them in all these years of ministry. Well, I just don't need any more. I'm satisfied where I am. Everything's fine. You know, I mean, I try to tell them, well, God's got more for you. Well, they say, no, I'm all right. Now, another thing that people do is they compare themselves to others, and therefore that becomes the standard of what God said rather than what he actually said in his word. You know, people always would say, man, if I could just have the faith of Brother Hagin. Now, I've heard them say it about my dad. Hey, that ain't got anything to do with it. You can have greater faith than him. It's what the word says. See, they think some people have a standard, you know, and I don't mean this wrongly, but my son, he is out preaching somewhere, and he was talking about, well, this is what they do at Rhema. And Craig said, what difference does that make? You see, they were setting Rhema as the standard. We're not the standard. This right here is the standard, the word of God. So don't get hung up on that. Thank God we try to maintain a standard of excellence around here. And if you want to imitate, that's fine. But imitate the word of God. Do what the word of God says. You know. Now, there are two actions on the part of obedience. Or maybe I should say it like this. Two types of action on obedience. When we are obedient, we say things in line with God's word. My dad would say it all the time. He said, if you speak against the word of God, you can't expect God to bless you. Part of being obedient is saying the word. And the other part of being obedient is doing the word, saying the word and doing the word. You know, when God spoke to me about coming to work for Dad with no preaching responsibilities in that particular position that I came in, it looked like a demotion instead of promotion, because I was preaching every Sunday just about and all the time. And, you know, I would determine to try to obey God no matter what. But, you know, then I got to thinking, well, you know, I could put me some tapes together, and I could start scheduling meetings. And so I actually took my own money and got masters made. And this was during the cassette days, many years ago, back in the 70s. And I got all these cassettes, and I got the albums. I got them all in there. Even had my ministry, Living Faith Ministries. That's why I call my crusades Living Faith Crusades. And it was a triangle like that. It had Living Faith and Ministries on the bottom. You know, I got it all. I used my own personal money, got it all put together. Now I'm ready to start scheduling meetings. And the Lord said to me, are you going to do what I asked you to do and be obedient? Or are you going to do your own thing? Well, I said, no, Lord, I'm going to do what you said to do. And he said, well, then doesn't look like you're headed that direction. You're doing your own thing. And I never will forget it. And they looked at me sort of crazy. But we were on this property. We're still over on North Utica. And I brought all those boxes with all the tapes, all the tape albums, and the masters. I said, here. I was getting off course. Instead of obeying God, I was willing to come when he told me to come, but now I'm getting off course because I'm not being obedient, because I'm wanting to do my own thing. And I gave it all to him. Never asked for a penny from this ministry for all the money that I put in it. And gave it all to them. And Dad and myself, or none of us, Greg, Denise, none of us, we get no royalties for anything. We could. It's ours. It's our material. We could. We put it all back into the ministry. You see, I realized that being obedient was more than just being willing to come and be a part. I had rejected it for a long time. I'd been asked several times. I said, oh, nothing to do with it. And so finally I was willing to come. But then I'm here, but now I don't want to be obedient where I'm at. Now, don't y'all look at me like that. Y'all all said, all of y'all probably been in the same spot. Or if you're not, you will be. You see, obedience is not a refrigerator word. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, back when my kids were younger in high school and junior high, we would put notes on the refrigerator because we knew when they come home from school that, you know, and now they're old enough, you know what I mean? They're not little bitty kids. They're old enough that they're going, Craig's going to go to that refrigerator the first thing he does. And so we put the note right there so he would see it. How many of you have ever done that? Put notes on your refrigerator door. Let me see your hands. I can't see. I'm trying to see. Yeah, okay. You know, obedience is not a word you put in. It's not a word you put on your bathroom mirror that you look at every morning when you get up. You might need to remind you that you got to be willing and obedient. You know, it takes obedience to be successful, to being willing. The Joshua 1:8 says, New Living says, study this book of the law continually, meditate on it day and night, so that you may observe to obey all that's written in it. Only then will you succeed. Now, this verse tells us to meditate and study the word. And there's some people that are very, very, very good at doing that, and they're still not prosperous. But you get to looking into the what they said, you know, and it says here, meditate on it, so be sure to obey all that's written in it. They're reading it and they're meditating on it, but they're not doing it. You see, the truth is when you obey the word, then you become successful. Now, you know, let's look at James 1:22 for just a moment. I'm going to read it from the New Living. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself and walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. This verse is telling us not to only hear the word, but to do the word. Say it, willing and obedient enables me to have the good and the blessings of God. You see, when you're willing and obedient, you position yourself to receive all of the blessings of God. You put yourself in the right position to connect with the right people. When you're willing and obedient, you have the audacity to stand up against hardships and persecutions that come your way. When you are obedient and willing, you will experience the abundant supply of God. Not any of us gets the blessings of God without being willing and obedient. You know, you need to take a moment, look over your life, and find out, am I just willing? Or am I willing and obedient? Or am I obedient but not willing? Because unless both of them are working at the same time, the blessings won't flow. It's up to you, not up to God, what you get. He's already said everything that we can have right here in the Word. It's up to you to see that you get the blessings of God and eat the good of the land. If you're not eating the good of the land, so to speak, another enjoying life, you need to check up and see where you're at, where you're missing it. And, you know, my dad used to say, man, I got willing. I was obedient, but I got willing really quick. And any of you that heard him preach, you've heard him talk about being willing and obedient. So tonight, I just took a few moments and talked to you about the fact that the Word of God is yours and you can enjoy it, but you got to be willing and obedient. Not just obedient, but willing and obedient. Not just willing, but willing, but obedient and willing to do God's Word. Heavenly Father, I reminded the people again, once again tonight, of the fact that your word is full of blessing. But that blessing only comes when they're willing and obedient to receive that blessing. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, did anybody get anything out of this tonight? Let me see your hand if you got, because it's hard for me to hear you. Good. Praise the Lord. Listen, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you're here tonight and you need to rededicate your life to God, or you just need somebody to pray with you about something, right back at the back of the room are going to be our prayer partners, the men and the ladies that pray. Y'all stand up back there where I can see you. Stand up against the wall. There's one of them over there waving his hand. There they are. I see their hands. They're right over here. If you don't know Christ, you need to rededicate your life. you have a reason that somebody, you want somebody to pray with you about something, if you go right over there by that, close to that exit door right there, they'll be there, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sunday morning right here, be with us. Connection team, go find our first time guests and get them that special gift that we got prepared for them. If you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. Come on and join the Rhema family. We're having a great time serving God Unlimited around here. Amen. Everybody stand up, please. Right here, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, School of the Bible, 10 o'clock, morning worship. Hey, be praying and believing God with us that they'll get those, that those pews will get here and we'll get them in. Amen. Because it's going to take several days to get them in here. You just don't say, poof, and they're here. It takes a lot of hard man hours, all right? Praise the Lord. So I don't know. I don't know whether we'll have some pews down Sunday morning or not, or whether we're going to be in the balcony again. But it make no difference. Hey, I preach down here just as easy as I can up there. I just can't see you because of these lights. But maybe they'll fix them one of these days for me, or I'm going to turn them off or something. No, we can't do that. The TV can't pick up nothing. All right. Hey, shake hands with somebody and say, I'm going to be willing and obedient because I'm going to eat the good of the land. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.